Promax BDA's Daily Brief Podcast. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Philip Agnello, who is a promo producer at AMI TV in Toronto. And Philip, I just have one question. How did you get this job?
This specific job that I'm doing as promo producer actually came out of, I was working as a producer for an audio only channel, which is owned by the same company that I currently work for. And basically they transitioned me and asked me to first start writing spots for television. And then basically they didn't have enough people to cut those spots. So I said, sure, I'll edit them too. And next thing you know, I'm a promo producer.
But morphed from the sort of audio, because that's what you studied in college, right? Morphed from that into something else.
Yeah, so I went to college actually originally for record production. So it was record, like the program I was in, it was for record production and music industry business. And I basically graduated and got this job as a producer for a broadcaster, an audio-only broadcaster, which was actually a reading service. So what that company did was we would record people reading newspaper articles and magazine articles and then broadcast them over cable.
Right. Cool yeah. Stuff. And so what does your day-to-day look like? Like this week so far, what have you been up to?
So this week, I'm working on a few different spots. I got an episodic for a new show that we have, which is called Mindset Go. And it's essentially about people trying to lose weight and get healthier. And then they pair them up with a Canadian Paralympian. And that's to help, you know, inspire them. And then they work towards the end, towards a goal that they're going to try and achieve.
Oh my God. 6 million Canadians struggle with obesity.
You're too fat. That's why you have a husband.
I know I'm too fat.
Threatening their health.
I'm at risk for stroke or heart attack.
Their families.
I'm overweight. I'm tired. I'm a lazy parent.
And their self-worth.
This little voice in my head tells me, no, you can't do it.
Less than 5% lose the weight and keep it off.
Diet, feel awesome, gain the weight back.
Over the course of 3 months, with the support of para-athletes who've triumphed over life's hardships.
I broke majority of bones in both feet.
I was the blind, fat, lonely, stinky kid. That was the bullied voice inside.
Brave individuals share their journey to wellness.
You can do it.
All the signals in your brain say, stop it, this hurts.
Oh my gosh.
I cycle with one leg. I have learned to push through the pain. It's the mental battle.
Yeah! On Mindset Go.
And then what else I got? I got a generic I'm working on for a mini series called The Kennedys, which is like, I think it was an older series from 2011.
Nice. And you've been with the company for quite some time, I believe a little over a decade at this point. What are some of the projects that you're really proud to have worked on?
Well, I think for sure going back, like a lot of the projects, it's really the stretch projects that I've had a lot of that I've initiated that I feel I'm most proud of. And the biggest one is definitely in 2015, I creative directed a rebrand for our channel. So, and the way that came about was we had a bunch of like schedule changes happening. So we had a lot more programs coming in that were going to be dramatic. So they were kind of changing, especially our primetime lineup with some bigger drama programs. So like Law & Order SVU was kind of the big one that we had coming in at the time too. And
nice.
So I was looking at it and looking at really our branding and our packaging of the channel. And it was obvious. It was like, you know what, when we have these new shows come in, there's going to be a disconnect between how we're presenting ourselves now and how we're branding ourselves now versus what we're going to look like, you know, in 6 months with this shift. So what I did was I got all the stakeholders from programming and production and marketing together and essentially proposed that, like, look, this is the time for us to look at revamping our on-air look and coming up with something fresh and unique and different that's going to fit the needs of where the channel is going. So they were all on board with that. And the next step was really to do a presentation. What I did was we did a lot of research around what was going on in the industry and the state of graphics and the state of television on-air looks and styles. And then especially for us, because our channel, we're geared towards a blind and low vision community. So all of our programs have described video.
Can you tell me about this pumpkin that you've picked out here for my pumpkin boat?
Well, number one, it's a gorgeous pumpkin.
Learn cool stuff.
It looks like an organ because it has a pedal board, but it's closer to the piano because it's a percussion instrument.
And meet awesome people.
She shows by example that a lack of sight need not mean a lack of opportunity.
AMI This Week. Mondays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on AMI TV.
But another aspect of that is how are we presenting graphics on screen in a way that is going to best connect with people who have low vision, right? Because people so traditionally think of television as it is, as a visual medium. But right. There's a lot of people who don't have the same visual acuity as other people. And especially, too, seeing how with screens getting bigger and definition getting better, fonts get smaller. And the length of time that things sit on screen gets shorter and shorter, right? Mm. So for people who have difficulty seeing what's being presented on screen, that's a real challenge. So that was another big aspect of the rebrand, was how can we, and actually this was kind of the defining the first primary pillar in the rebrand that I presented, was we need to be the most accessible graphics package on television, period. That's our mandate, is to be accessible. We're called Accessible Media Incorporated. So for us, it was absolutely mandatory that that's where we had to start with. We got to start with the point of accessibility at the forefront and establish what we want to be around that. So that whole project was just like, that was a blast to be able to see something important that we needed to do, to be able to put together a vision around how we could come up with a good strategy that will achieve that goal, and then to oversee the actual execution of it and be able to deliver on time that met with when all those new programs came in and launched, we had a brand new package to go along with it.
Sounds like a huge undertaking that you all were able to make happen. So congratulations. And how did you go from producing audio? So, if you're working on audio, that's one thing. If you're editing a video, that's a whole other thing. How did you sort of make that transition to building up those other skills? Or was that something you already did? It just wasn't in your sort of job title?
No, you know what? To be honest, man, have you ever seen there's a kid's movie called Robots?
I haven't seen it, but I need to.
Okay, it's not a classic or anything, but there's a character, and his name's Big Weld, all right? And he's like a king of industry kind of guy. And his whole slogan, he was always, see a need, fill a need.
You know, I love to tinker, but all the tinkering in the world isn't useful unless it starts with a good idea. So look around for a need and start coming up with ideas to fill that need. One idea will lead to another. And before you know it, you've done it. See a need, fill a need.
That's it, Dad. I have to look for a need.
Right? And that was Big Weld's thing. And I think, not that that inspired me to be how I am, but it kind of fits in a lot of what I've done and how I look to challenge myself. So you see something, you see an opportunity, you go, if we did this, we could be better, you know, as a group. This is something that we need. And then just basically stepping up and doing it, because it's not going to do itself, right? So that's really how it happened. It's like, okay, I got to edit this video. I've never edited a video. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to watch videos, and I'm going to watch tutorials on the internet, and I'm going to go, okay, it's just software, right? And I already know how to put together promos. Because I was already doing audio promotions. And specifically, we actually used to run described versions of movies without even the picture. Like on the audio channel, we would run just the audio of movies with the description track on it.
A carrot-nosed, coal-eyed snowman shuffles up to a purple flower peeping out of deep snow.
Ooh, hello.
He takes a deep sniff. His nose lands on a frozen pond. A reindeer looks up and pants like a dog. Seeing the reindeer slip on the ice, the snowman smiles and moves towards him.
I had actually been able to build up a lot of practice in creating promos for movies, like movie promos and TV show promos, but only using the audio. So really it was like, okay, wow. So I know how to do that. I'm gonna make it now, just add in the video component. Now it's laid out in a linear fashion. All right, now I see where all my cut points are, so I know I got to cover it over. And obviously, I got to use cover that's relevant to what they're saying in it. And then, obviously, I'm still like, nothing changes with audio. I still got to pick the right music. I still got to get the right tone and delivery. I got to give it the right direction. I got to write the perfect copy so that all of those individual elements of creative, of an on-air promotion, like those things don't change. The only difference is now, all right, so I got to cover it. I just got to cover the cut points, right? And next step was, and adding graphics. So again, how do you do that? Like, well, I want graphics on my spots. You know, I see spots on TV. They got nice graphics. So if I want that, I better teach myself how to do it.
You really kind of made it happen. And so you now, with all of this that you've sort of from college to working at AMI, what has been your involvement with the Promax BDA executive mentorship program? You're a mentee. Who's your mentor? And sort of what's that been like?
Okay, so yeah, I'm a mentee. My mentor's name is April Carty Sipp, and she's amazing. She's so fantastic. And I think I can say, because she just started a new position, she just moved over to NAB. And it's been amazing. You know what? The reason, like I'll say, I got involved really because I feel like I'm at a point in my career where I really want to take the next step forward. And I think all my career, I've always looked for challenges. Right. And you get to a point, though, where you go, OK, maybe you've outgrown the challenges that are available and you want to find something more. And how can you do that? And you look for opportunities. So when I found out about the mentorship program, I was like, this sounds like the perfect thing for me to try, where I can get that guidance and get somebody who really I trust, who I can share how I'm feeling with and gain insights in a way that would be very difficult to come across in an organic way.
Right. And so how does it work? What's the sort of practicality? Do you sort of meet on a weekly basis or a monthly basis or chat? You know, how does it work?
Yeah. So me and April, I would say we chat, we do a phone call about every 2 to 3 weeks, and we're on the phone for about an hour, hour and a half each time. And it's because, I mean, she's based now, she's in Washington and I'm in Toronto. So unfortunately we haven't been able to like physically get together yet, but we always talk on the phone and have been able to stay, you know, connected in that way.
Awesome. That would be my excuse to actually go to Toronto.
Well, you know what? It's still a little cold, man. Maybe wait another month.
Right. And so what's something that you've come out of this particular relationship with? Like, what are some of the learnings? You talked about just, you know, wanting to take that next step forward in your career. Are there some sort of tangible advice that you've come out with that has definitely sort of helped you at least see the next steps?
I think it's more than like a specific do this or do that kind of like one-stop fix. I don't think it's that. It's more about perspective, right? And being able to get perspective from someone that you trust in an honest way, and then being able to apply that and be then reflective. So by doing that, you're able to look objectively at yourself through someone else's eyes, who you trust and respect. And that gives you a lot of power to be able to say, to look at how your own strengths, your own weaknesses, and your own areas of development are, right? Like, I don't think the role necessarily of a mentor is to make you better. I think it's to help you become better.
That was well said. You stopped at a sort of hard period. I was like, wow, this is it. and now in your position as a promo producer, what are some of those qualities that sort of help you succeed on a daily basis? I mean, you talked about storytelling and sort of putting things together, you know, the writing, the editing, but what are some of the qualities that help you succeed on a daily basis?
You know what? I think first and foremost of it, it's problem solving. That's at the heart of creative, and it's about problem solving. And for me, it's about the convergence of creative and strategy, right? So strategy is very analytical. It's very intellectual, you would say, right? Whereas creative is gut, it's visceral, it's a feeling. So having those things and smashing them together, right? So that you're approaching something that's visceral from a very analytical way. And you have to do that in order to evoke the right emotion that you're trying to get and deliver the message in that way that you want it to come across, right? And I think by doing that, by problem solving, really, you're looking at the big picture. So I know, like, for me, in my, like, there's different, a lot of people have different approaches to creative. I'm very much in the mindset, and I think this goes back to my record production training and like from an old school 1960s record producer kind of mentality, right, where you look at it from what's the end product? You know, I know what the song that we're making is going to sound like on the radio. So I know what the instrumentation's got to be like. I know what the rhythm's got to be like. I know what the feel's got to be like on what we're delivering in order to meet what we're trying to do in the end. So you have to be able to, in TV it's vision, in audio it's hear, but essentially it's all have a vision of what that final product is. Because if you know what that final thing is that you're trying to make and you're trying to, or that goal that you're trying to achieve, now you can work backwards because things become necessary in order to achieve that. Right? So you're like, I want it to have this emotional type of feel. You're like, all right, well, that dictates the type of music that you're going to be able to put. You know what I mean? You're not putting something super jangly and fun if you want it to be deep and emotional and really resonate with somebody on, or create a feeling of longing, right, or loss. Like, there's necessary components that happen that way. So you're really looking at it from the sense of a puzzle. And then those pieces start to kind of come together for you if you know what you have to do at the end. And then it makes it really, like, kind of paint by numbers from there, right? Because you know what it's got to be. So then it's much easier to figure out what the steps are to get there, because there's certain essentially necessities in order to achieve that.
Right. And did you always know that you wanted to do this, at least work for a television network? And did you always know that you wanted to sort of do this work?
No, definitely not, man. I didn't know. It's just, you know, like, honestly, when I went to college, like when I was like coming out of high school, going to college, I'm like, yo, I'm going to be Dr. Dre. Right. Like, that's not practical. That didn't
respectable.
And then I'm in college, right. And I'm doing record production and I enjoy production, but I'm going, you know what? I want to be a song publisher because I have an ear. I can hear it. I know what a hit is and I know how to change it. I have the vision to see what that raw thing could be. Right. And then I graduated and I'm like, yo, man, I want to get paid. And it's like, all right, I got a full-time job and you take it.
Sounds
and
good
then,
to me.
Right. And then the next thing, you know, it's like, okay, well, I mean, I'm bored, right? I'm bored. I'm doing this for 3 months. I'm bored. What else can I do? You know, this is easy now. So that's when, okay, well, what do we need to do? Right. What's going to help this channel? More broadly, what's going to help this organization? What's going to help this team? What can I bring to the table that's going to make an impact, that's going to make a difference, right? And then if you go, okay, because that's what I want to do. I want to make a difference, and I want to make an impact, and I want to be the best team player that I can, and I want to find where that need is, that I can be most effective and make the biggest difference, and that's what I want to do, right? And that's how I want to keep driving myself, and that's how I'm going to keep staying engaged. Because as soon as you get to the point where something's daily, something's routine, something's monotonous, now you're not pushing yourself, you're not developing, you're not getting any better, right? And that's when that stagnation, you know, is going to turn into boredom, right? And can manifest itself, you know, in unhappiness, because you're not pushing yourself and you're not being challenged. So for me, that's what it's really been about, is making sure that you're constantly pushing yourself. You're constantly challenging yourself. You're constantly making the effort to keep yourself engaged and to make a difference.
Right. And I wanted to sort of go back and, you know, I wanted to get a little bit more information on this. How did you find out about the Promax BDA Executive Mentorship Program? So how did you learn about it?
Okay. Funny story, I guess. The first night, it was a couple of years ago, a few years ago, it was at, the conference was in Los Angeles. And I think it was the night before the conference, and I was in the lobby bar, and met a guy. He invited me to come over to his table, young guy, his name was Ryan Ingram. And he worked for Turner. And he told me, I'm like, oh, what's going on? He's like, yeah, I'm here for a day early for this mentorship program, and was telling me about it. I'm like, man, that sounds really interesting. I'd love to get involved in something like that. And and went home after the conference. You know, I went home and was like, all right, let me, next year I'm going to make sure I apply to that.
Amazing. That is serious proof that good things really do happen in the lobby. I really do believe that sometimes you have some strong conversations that can really change your life.
Yeah, yo, the conference is, like, I've loved going. Like, I found it to be so, like, so beneficial from a networking perspective and from just, like, a human perspective, right? The opportunity to meet and have meaningful conversations and discussions and make meaningful connections with like-minded people who are sharing the same type of challenges and whose minds are in the same sort of place, and everybody's pushing, right? And everybody's trying to get it. And you can learn so much from other people. And that's why, I mean, it's fun. Like, it's a fun opportunity, right? And especially, I think, for someone like me, and being in, you know, being in Toronto, when I'm not in LA, right? I'm not in New York, where there's so much more happening, that to be able to get these opportunities to meet people, it's unique, and you really have to take advantage of those opportunities and make the most out of it.
Sounds like great advice to me. Philip Vignello, promo producer at AMI TV, Accessible Media in Toronto. Thank you for chatting with me today.
Oh, great, man. My pleasure.
Paige Alpiniak is editorial director of Promax BDA. LaFern Cusack is executive producer of the Daily Brief podcast and senior producer at Promax BDA. Video helper provides the music. Digital producer Kate LaCaire-Marion and social media coordinator Kristen Craik contribute to Daily Brief. Follow Paige on Twitter at Paige A. Follow LaFern at LaFern Cusack and follow Promax BDA at Promax BDA. You can reach out to us at dailybrief@promaxbda.org. And you can subscribe to the Daily Brief podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podomatic, and now on Spotify. Thanks for listening.